Good morning, everyone. So last week we started in this new series called Transformation, and I'm very excited about it. We have one more week after today, and we're talking about how God wants to transform us, which is amazing news because I don't want to be the same person I was yesterday. God intends more for me. He wants me to be a better person than what he always intended us to be. And Paul talks about this in Romans 12, and he says, if you let God do the work, he will transform you. If you start giving your life over to him, he will take it and make something better out of it. But sometimes we run into a wall and we get stuck and we've stopped being transformed. We stopped changing and we wonder why, because maybe we're still going to church. We're still doing the same things we used to do. But the reason we stop transforming isn't because of God's unwillingness. God wants us to change. He's trying to help us change. When we get stuck, it's often because we haven't given up all of our life to God. Maybe we've only given up the comfortable parts, the things that we really want to change. But Paul says you need to give up everything. The habits that you're still holding on to. Some of your areas of comfort zone that you just haven't really let go of yet. And when you do that, he will take those things and make it into something better. And that is a gift, friends. It's so much better than hanging on to it and trying to do something with it on our own. And it's such great news. Paul goes on to talk this week. We're going to continue in Romans 12. He goes on to talk this week about how he's not only transforming our character, he's given us gifts and abilities to be able to use for him to be a blessing in this world. I mean, what great news. And again, it's not about trying harder. It's about releasing more. It's not like it's a 10,000-hour rule. He wants to do the work for us. So what could possibly go wrong with that? Well, we are human, so we're going to find some way to mess it up. So not only does Paul give us a calling, he gives us a warning. So we're going to read today in Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. When I was thinking about this message, I thought back to a time when I was asked to participate in a talent show. Has anybody ever participated in a talent show? Yeah, we're getting some hands up. Now, I actually wasn't one of the ones showing off a talent. I was asked to participate as a judge. And this was years ago. I don't even remember why I was being asked to do it. And it was for a volunteer. I wasn't getting paid to do it. And it was for middle school students. And can I tell you, I was absolutely terrified. And it's not because I'm particularly scared of middle school students. Thankfully, they're not here to hear me say that. Although I do think a little bit of a healthy fear with middle schoolers is healthy. It's because I was so afraid that some middle school student was going to come and just pour their heart out into some performance, and that I would have to sit there and judge it and say, not good enough. That really frightened me. I can remember trying to do my best for something, and just the fear of rejection just would freeze me. And so I wasn't quite sure what to do. I didn't want to be the one that goes to little Timmy, and I say, "Timmy, please put that oboe away. My ears are starting to bleed." Like, I just did not want to be that person. And so here's what I did, is for every student that came up, and this went on for hours, every student that came up, as soon as they came up, I gave them the highest mark. There's a couple of judges over there. I have no clue what they were doing, but I wasn't even paying attention. I just said, "Highest mark. You got it. Thanks for participating." It's like everybody got an orange slice or a high mark from me. I just did not want to be the one that gave them the low mark. And I don't know if that makes me the best judge ever or the worst judge ever. I guess it depends on your point of view. But ultimately, friends, ultimately, we live in a talent show world. And if you're not sure about this, it's the holiday season where people like to decorate their yards, and good for you if you love to do that. But I feel like if you don't have a 30-foot animatronic and a light show going on in your yard, you just can't compete. And some of you are probably thinking, yeah, you're not even trying if you don't add music and live animals, right? You're into it. And of course, there are lists that tell us who's doing the best job, who wins the prize for the best decorations. This is so true in the workforce as well. I worked for a company that literally put all the people at certain levels, and they would stack them from 1 to 500 at that level. And the managers would get together for certain weeks. They would tell you how you ranked and where you ranked according to everybody else. And their managers would get together for several weeks and rank that group. And a lot of it was based on public visibility. That was a lot of the determinant on how valuable you were. I actually had someone tell me, "We think you did a great job, but we couldn't put you higher because you weren't showcasing yourself enough." And I was like, "Well, I did my job, and I was helping other people." And like, yeah. But you didn't do enough to shine your light. We live in a talent show world. And I feel for the seniors who are trying to get into a college, where they're putting together resumes showcasing the ribbons they've gotten through their high school years. Like, and you know, I got a blue ribbon in sports, but I only got a white ribbon on grades, but man, I got a red ribbon when it comes to after-school activities. We are so often judged by public recognition. And friends, I got to think, this is exhausting. Does anybody else feel that way as well? Because when you're playing this game, you're always having to curate your appearance, you're chasing applause, and you're deathly afraid of rejection. No wonder it's so easy to get burnt out there. And this is why Paul gives us the warning to not think too highly of ourselves, because it's so easy to think that we deserve that applause, that we should chase that prize. But Paul says, God has given you these gifts and abilities not as prizes to show off, but as gifts to bless other people. The problem is when we think of it as a talent show and we're chasing that prize and that applause, is that it makes us compete against other people. Are you with me? It pits us against each other. And let me just be real for just a minute. Just listen to what I have to say about this. If you are feeling resentment because you're serving your family and you feel like you're not getting the respect you deserve, maybe you're thinking too highly of yourself. If you're feeling resentment because you're serving your family or you're volunteering in the church and you don't feel like you're getting the appreciation you deserve, maybe you're thinking too highly of yourself. And I know that sounds harsh. And appreciation is so great when you get it. But as soon as you're doing it, as soon as you're serving because you want something in return, you are now performing to get a prize. Are you with me? We serve when we're doing it right and expect nothing in return. Because, friends, the truth is, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you followed him into baptism and been washed clean and joined the family of God, you've already gotten the best prize you could ever get. You don't need to get appreciation and recognition from other people. You've already gotten it. And you're ultimately going to be disappointed if that's what you're seeking. And it's such a hard trap to fall into because the world is telling you you deserve that public recognition. You deserve to chase after that applause. But Paul says hidden faithfulness trumps public recognition every single time. Are you hearing that? Because that's not what the world is saying. Hidden faithfulness trumps public recognition every single time. What good does it do to have a fat wallet and you're not a generous person? What does God care about money if you're not willing to be generous? You could have all the power and influence in the world, but if you're not an encouraging person, what difference does it make? You could have flashy skills and do amazing things, but if you're not serving other people, who cares? Do you understand what I'm saying? In fact, Paul says, if you want a real measuring stick, because we like to have measuring sticks, don't we? If you want a measuring stick, go find the most faithful person out there that you can find. Go find the person who trusts God the most. That's who you want to be like. That's who you need to go learn from. It doesn't matter what gift you have. In fact, Paul says, I'll take 10 people on fire for God, regardless of the gifts they have, over 1,000 people who are trying to perform. In fact, that's exactly what he did, and he transformed the world with small little teams of encouragers and servers and generous people. Maybe you're wondering, am I really needed? And friends, I got to tell you, just take a look at the world out there. You are needed more than ever. It is so divisive. All you hear is bad news all day long. This world is struggling to hear some good news. It's struggling to see people loving each other and taking care of each other and expecting nothing in return. It's filled with lonely people who don't know where to turn. And we have a family right here filled with gifts, filled with loving and trusting people. Friends, if you're not sure if you're needed, let me tell you emphatically, yes. Bring whatever gifts you have. It doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be showy. It could be a smile. It could be signing cards. It could be just showing up and being you. Paul says, bring your gifts and whatever faith you can muster and watch God go to work, because God is in the business of changing lives. My friends, maybe you're wondering, will it really make a difference if I show up? And can I just tell you from personal experience how much it's meant to me? With all the kind words I've heard, just people coming up and just saying something nice, and it's meant the world to me. With people coming up and giving me a hug, it's made me feel like I have a home. I get texts encouraging me, and I know I have a family. Friends, it takes so little to show God's love to each other. But I know I have a family here, and I felt your love, and it's impacted me in ways I can't even begin to describe. This is what Paul means when he says we belong to each other. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to go out on a limb right here, and if someone in this auditorium has touched your life in some small way in the recent past, would you mind just standing up and join me in saying, this has meant the world to me? Friends, take a look around. We belong to each other. You and your gifts matter. The world is saying, step up and prove that you are somebody. And God is saying, step in, because you already are somebody. Thank you. Let's stand and sing and celebrate.